This evening continues now as Jenny Mills presents Famous for 15 Minutes.
Imagine this. I'm at RADA, and I'm 15, and I'm stage struck. They were doing a play at the Criterion, and my father knew the director. And the play was called French Without Tears, and there was a part in it of a schoolboy who came on at the end and got the biggest laugh in the show. I got the part, and I was sharing a dressing room with the 21-year-old Trevor Howard, and I was 15. And I used to sit till 2:30 in the morning in the theatre watching them all rehearse. You couldn't have got me out anywhere at all. At 10 o'clock in the morning, on the morning of the first night, the phone rang. My father answered it, and I heard him say, "You don't want me to tell him, do you?" I knew. They had decided that I was too old for the part, and they sacked me on the morning of the first night. And that was my first disappointment. And I've never really been disappointed since.
But the schoolboy Gerald Campion eventually played was to make him far more memorable. Billy Bunter, the fat owl of the remove, the greedy anti-hero of Greyfriars School. By then he was 29 and married with two children. That was almost 40 years ago. Now he runs a small country hotel in Kent, a trim, impish man in shorts, sitting in the garden while the house martins chattered under the eaves. Godson of Gerald Du Maurier and second cousin to Charlie Chaplin, he's been involved in acting and catering in one form or another most of his life. Back in 1952, the acting wasn't going too well, so Gerald was running a club for actors in the West End, and the BBC were looking for someone to play Bunter.
I knew they were looking for somebody. They'd been looking for ages. And I knew I could do it. I wasn't fat, but I've got a round face and it took the padding. But I didn't want to do it. And I remember my friend Clive Baxter saying, "Why don't you want to do it?" And I said, "Because I don't want to be kicked all over the BBC." I said, "You don't realise what it's going to entail. It's going to be so undignified." Then I rang up my father, who was in the business, he's a playwright, and I said, "Look, I've been offered this part of Bunter. I don't know whether to do it." He said, "Have you got any money?" So I said, "You know I haven't got any money." He said, "Well, then I can't see what you're ringing me up for. Do it." And so I did it. And it's never stopped paying off since 1952. I don't think, certainly 3 months has never gone by when I haven't received something because of Bunter.
Bunter!
Ah! Oh, Billy, what do you think you're doing? Look, I'm all covered in ink!
Did you have to put on weight for the part?
No.
It was all padding?
Oh, absolutely. They had a suit made for me. It was made of kapok, and it came from the neck, underneath my chin, down to my wrists and down to my ankles, and was very difficult in hot weather. It was chronic. We used to do the first series, we did twice nightly, live, 5:25 for the children and 7:25 for the adults. When I first played it, I played it as best I could as a 14-year-old boy. I got a mass of fan mail from 14-year-old girls who wrote and said, "I love you and I don't mind your being fat," or "I'm fat," and It was smashing, actually. I mean, the proposals of marriage I had and things like that. And I replied to them all, handwritten. I never had any fan mail before, you know. And then I noticed that when we did the second series, and in a way I got lazier, I didn't characterise the part. I didn't play the part as a 14-year-old boy. I played it as Gerald Campion playing Billy Bunter. As a comedian, whilst Brian Rix would play it, which made it extremely popular, but I lost the affection, shall we say, of a lot of the children who watched it. I think it was then became a cult thing for the older people.
I didn't see you, sir. I'm just going to do those lines, sir. I just thought I'd have a look at the newspaper first and see what the cricket score was.
That was not a newspaper I saw on your hand, Bunter.
Oh, yes, it was, sir.
Show it to me. Upon my word, Bunter, you will hand over that wretched publication at once.
Sir, it's a jolly good comic, and it cost me fourpence.
Give it to me.
Yes, sir.
Upon my word. I suppose this is what they call a horror comic.
Oh, really, sir?
Silence! You are the most obtuse boy in my class. But I'm surprised that even you will waste your time reading such pernicious rubbish. Do not let this occur again.
No, sir. Can I have it back, sir?
You may not, Bunter.
Oh, you beast! I don't...
What are you doing, Bunter?
Nothing, sir. Just scratching my nose.
Take care, Bunter.
Yes, sir.
You said you didn't want to do the part because you thought it was going to be undignified. How undignified was it?
Oh, it was desperate. I mean, it's not like being Robert Redford, you know. I mean, you go on location and you've got this ridiculous costume on. They all come and stare at you and say things like, oh, there he is, and oh, that's Billy, and oh, it was terrible, actually. I used to get terribly, terribly bad-tempered. I didn't mind doing it so much in the studio, but I have to say I never felt I got the proper attention, considering the popularity of the programme. I did fill a half an hour a week, which is quite a long time, entirely single-handed, really. I was once taken to Esher Station. I waited for a train to come in with the cameraman, and I was put into a railway carriage by the schoolmaster and had to travel two stations dressed as Bunter in a carriage full of women shoppers who were naturally bemused. And I stared out of the window until one finally said, what are you doing? I said, it's for a bloody film, madam. That's all I could think of to say. And when I got to the station, I'd got no money, so they wouldn't let me through the barrier. And the car from the BBC to pick me up had not arrived. I mean, you know. It was horrendous, horrendous. Can you imagine running around England dressed like an idiot, you know?
So who else was in the series apart from you?
Well, John Osborne was in the very first one. He played a prefect, hating every moment, but I've got the proof. I've got a photograph of him doing it. Michael Crawford was in about two series, I think. Anthony Valentine was in two series. And, of course, all the time I was doing Bunter. I mean, I did Bunter with a hangover. I mean, I had a hangover for 10 years, I mean, and I used to get up and do rehearsing with a hangover. I was so used to it, I wouldn't have known how to do it without a hangover, and then a quick Purple Heart to do the show. Nobody knows what Purple Hearts are now, so it's all right. You know, I mean, I hadn't been to bed till 3 a.m. and all that. And, when you had to, and then that padding and all that. And I didn't know my lines, so I had to do something. So I used to take a Purple Heart. And I used to, no, I have it timed exactly. I can't remember now, but I think I used to take them 45 minutes before the show. And miraculously, about 5 minutes before I went on, I felt like $1 million. They all used to say, he seems a bit shaky on his lines for a Friday when we're doing it tomorrow. And the director used to say, yes, I meant to tell you that. He said, I want you all to watch out for him tomorrow because he'll give an entirely different performance. None of you will get a chance to get a look in anywhere. And if you see them now, you'll see that they didn't. And their parts were so terrible. They had these dreadful parts written. I shouldn't say that they were terrible actors, though nobody's heard of any of them since, except for Michael Crawford and Anthony Valentine. The parts were so evilly written. But they hadn't got a chance. I got all the funny lines, so I really used to sort of brush them aside a bit and do the show. And it, well, what does it matter? It's all so long ago.
So were you popular with them if you were busy
upstaging
them all the
time? No, not terribly. I don't think so, no. I think they loathed me, actually. But if it wasn't for them, that I'm me, they wouldn't be working, so I suppose they... No, I can't say that they liked me. I can't say I blamed them. Didn't like them much, actually. Like Tony Valentine, he's very nice.
Bunter kept Gerald Campion in work from 1952 to 1960, still presiding over his club as a sideline. Then the BBC decided the series had run its course.
I was terribly disappointed. I'd always been slightly contemptuous of it and thought, oh, well, I can always do that. And I was very upset. I did everything I could, and I was up against the stone wall of bureaucracy, and there was no chance. They'd made the decision, and that was it. And I think it was everybody's loss, because it was fun. I mean, it was fun. I mean, with all due respect, I don't know of anything any better today.
Oh, I say, you fellows.
Hello, you comic horror. What happened to your horror comic?
Oh. Quelch just got it. I say, you fellas, it's a bit thick. Now I shan't know what happened to Demon Dick.
Oh, what a shame.
I say, which of you fellas will lend me fourpence to buy another comic?
Echo answers which.
Oh, look here, I can't keep asking, Malevra. Look, one of you fellas lend me fourpence, and I'll pay you back when my postal order comes.
I don't think we want it then, Butter. We'll all be drawing our old age pension.
In the years that followed, nothing really brought Gerald Campion the acclaim he'd won as Bunter. For a while, he had his own cookery programme on television. Meanwhile, he gave up the Actors Club and went into the restaurant business instead, finally buying the hotel he runs today. But his acting career never really faded away, and his is a face you might glimpse from time to time in countless minor roles on TV and film.
I was in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and I had a reasonable part in that. And then I was in Magnificent Men and Their Flying Machines. They warned me before I did it. They said, you've not got anything to say. You and Graham Stark are two firemen, and you may not be called very much, but you'll be paid every week, which is what attracted me. I don't know about Graham. And then I was in Half a Sixpence.
What other things have you been in more recently?
More recently? Well, I was in Sherlock Holmes. Oh, I don't know. I always forget what I've done. Oh, then I played Father Christmas in a Children's Film Foundation film, where I was shot in the stomach and exploded. You know, one of those fantasies, I suppose. Thought I did that quite well, actually. And the exploding, I mean.
Do you feel that Bunter helped your career?
Oh, well, I had no career. I mean, without Bunter, I would have been nobody. You wouldn't be here. I'm not a terribly good actor. I'm one performance person. I mean, I that's why I had the temerity to say I think I was very good as Bunter. I'm a small part actor, you know, I mean. But everybody knows me. They know me for that. Quite rightly, why should they know me for anything else? I mean, that's my whole life is spent doing that and cooking.
Do you mind that?
Yes. I mind it, not now I'm old. I don't really mind. I've accepted the fact. Susie said to me the other day, you must never feel like that. You had a bigger bite of the apple than most people. I mean, you're famous. I can always get to the head of the queue. I can always, once I'm recognised, it greases the wheels a little.
Class is dismissed.
Come on, old fat man. Class dismissed.
I suppose I can stay in if I want to, can't I, Cherry? I'm just going to mug up a bit of Latin. Go over it, you know.
Mug up Latin? Bunter must be ill.
Oh, really, you fellas, if you think I've got any cake or oranges in this desk, you're jolly well mistaken.
Have you been pinching someone's tuck?
Certainly not, Wharton. I haven't been anywhere near Coker's study. And if I had, I wouldn't have touched his rotten oranges.
You fat piffler, have you got Coker's oranges?
I keep telling you I haven't, don't I?
Oh, come on, Harry. Coker'll see to him later.
All right.
Hee-hee, that fooled him. Poor old Coker. I bet he wonders where his oranges are.
When people come and stay here now...
Yes. And it's the second bottle of wine that does it. And it varies, you know. Everything's fine because I'm marvellous at serving. I'm much better than I am an actor. I'm a marvellous head waiter, you see. And I never mention the business. I never mention acting. I never mention anything. There is one poster in the whole place hidden away with me starring in something at the Westminster Theatre. Otherwise, it's never mentioned by me. But I can tell by the look on their face, either they actually are outrageous and say something like, we're lucky to have got the food to the table with you serving it, Mr. Bunter, ha 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 ha. And I walk out of the room then, and if my wife's around, she says, if you talk like that to me, won't serve you. Some of them are quite divine. And of course, I'm lovely to them. But the ones that get cheeky, I can be pretty acid. I was in France the other day, and I met a man, and I was told that he was an enormous fan. And he's 70, and he's very overweight, and he's known by his friends as Bunter. And when we met, he danced about a bit and started shrieking things out. And I let him do all this and say, Yaroo and all that. And I said, now then, have you got that off your chest? Can you just treat me as a normal human being and we'll go on from there? All right? But I don't mind, you know, really. Take the money and run.
Jenny Mills was talking to Gerald Campion, famous for 15 minutes.